My message this morning is going to be this. What is a man like me doing in a place like this? What is a man like me doing in a place like this? I've taken my text from the Word of God, 15th chapter of the book of Luke. The Bible says in the 11th verse of the 15th chapter, and he said there was a certain man who had two sons. And the younger said to his father, "Father, give me the portion of goods that befalleth me," and divided them to him his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance on riotous living. This is one of the greatest parables Jesus ever told. The 15th chapter of the book of Luke contains one parable in three parts. The parable of the lost sheep, 99, one was lost. Shepherd went looking for the lost sheep. Parable of the lost coin, lost in the house. The woman went looking for the coin, swept the floor until she found it. But then the last part of this parable is all one parable, but same story. When the lost was found, they had rejoicing, and rejoicing in heaven. The last part of this parable is what I just read to you. The story of who? The prodigal son. The lost son. So we had a lost sheep. We had a lost coin. And now we have a lost son. He had a rich father. Apparently very rich, because he had many houses and servants and slaves and cattle and everything. His son, this prodigal, had everything at home. He was a rich man's boy. Remind me a little of Joseph in the Old Testament, where he had everything. He was his father's favorite. Jacob was rich. This man was a rich, apparently, but Jesus. This young man, this second son, was not happy. What he had didn't make him happy. And he said to himself one day, I believe he said this, his actions prove this, that's why I'm preaching this to you today. What's a man like me doing in a place like this? I'm not happy. I'm not happy to be here. I'm not happy to be at Father's house. I'm not happy with all the things I have. I want some pleasure. I want some excitement. I want some party. I want to see the world. I'm tired of living in Fredericksburg. I want to move to Atlanta. I want to go to Hollywood. I'm tired of this place. What's a man like me or a woman like me doing in a place like this? And so he approached his father. And he said, "Father, I want my inheritance now. I want what's my portion now." You know that inheritance is only supposed to be given when the father and mother passes away. I'm going to put a tag on my car. Being of sound mind, I spent all mine. Y'all didn't get that. No, I'm not. I'm going to leave some things for my kids. We like to leave inheritance for our kids, but they have to wait for the inheritance when we pass away. But this young man didn't want to wait. He didn't want to wait for his dad to die. He was tired of his situation. He was tired of where he was living. He was tired of everything. So he said, "Give me the portion that belongs to me." So the father gave him a third of the whole inheritance. You say, why did he give him a third? Because he was a second son. The oldest child gets double portion. The oldest son got two-thirds. He got one-third. But he took that one-third, and whether he had to sell the property, whether he had to sell the whatever, but he sold it and turned it into cash, and he took his journey to a far country. He took his journey to a far country. He took his country so he could be with the people he wanted to be around. He was tired of his family. He was tired of home. He wanted to eat, he wanted to drink, and he wanted to be merry. I'm sure he wanted to go to the bar at night and say, he had a lot of money. See, he just got all this inheritance. Everybody, the drinks are on me. Very popular. Everybody loved him. He was passing out money. He was having a good time. He was having to take care of everyone. And even his brother said he devoured his money on harlots. That's what the Bible says. I don't know whether that's true or not, but that's what the Bible says. But one thing he did, he spent it all. How many of you know it's easy to spend your money? It's easy to spend somebody else's money when they're buying you things. He spent his money. He spent it all. Then he got very desperate. He got homeless. He got in a situation where he had nothing to eat. He had nothing. I hope everyone's listening. I hope especially the young people are listening today. He had nothing left. He had nothing left. He finally found a job. He found a job, ladies and gentlemen, with a farmer. It wasn't riding horses. Come on, I know some horse riders in here. Come on. It wasn't herding cattle. It was a pig pen. He found a job working with hogs. You know what peanuts will do to a pig? Y'all know what peanuts will do to a pig? Anybody love peanuts? They're very nutritious. You know what they do to a pig? Make a hog out of it. They love peanuts. They love food. He ended up in a hog pen. Now, he's Jewish. Jewish people do not hang around with pigs. They don't hang around with hogs. In fact, swine is unclean. He's Jewish. You couldn't, listen, ladies and gentlemen, you couldn't get to a lower job than having a job taking care of hogs. The Jewish people don't eat pork. The Muslims don't eat pork. I've been to Israel several times. I've never found a ham sandwich yet. Can I tell you, I'm not picking on anybody, but I want to tell you, we have a lot of Muslims at Angola Penitentiary, and they don't eat pork. And our church every year feeds all the ministers and all the graduates. We've had several of the Muslims graduate from our Baptist Theological Seminary and got degrees, Bachelor of Science degrees, fully accredited degrees, and they come to our meetings, and we feed them, but we also feed any minister, whether he's Muslim or not, because it's an institution. And we feed them, and we feed them, ladies and gentlemen, we feed them penne pasta with shrimp and chicken, and that is some of the best he ever ate. And then we feed them snap beans, and then we feed them gumbo, and we feed them apple crisp and salad. And I go to the microphone and I say, now I know some of you don't eat pork. Now if you don't eat pork, there's no pork in the pasta. There's no pork in the slaw or the salad. There's no pork in the apple crisp, but the beans and the gumbo is loaded up with pig. We always feed them until there's nothing left in the pan because they don't get that kind of food. And they're going for seconds and thirds, and this guy standing behind the green beans one day, this Muslim comes up and he says, is any pork in this green beans? And he said, yes, a lot of bacon in it. He said, bacon is not pork, give me some. We still laugh about that. This Jewish boy is in a pig pen. The lowest you can get as far as a Jew. You couldn't get any worse. Now let me tell you about the pig pen. Some of you were not raised on a farm. Some of you think pork chops come from the grocery store. Pork chops come from pigs. Ham comes from pigs. Bacon comes from pigs. Pigs, if you never slop the hogs, you don't know much about hogs, but I've slopped the hogs. I grew up on a farm in Florida. And let me tell you something. They smell bad. They smell bad, bad. They smell so bad. They like, and I'll tell you something else. That boy was up to his ankles in mud. Somebody said, you taking a little lenience here, friend, because there's nothing the Bible says about mud, but you never slop the hog, because a hog's going to find a mud hole. He's going to make a mud hole in the Sahara Desert almost, because he has to have it for his skin, and it's because of the pores of his skin. So he was smelling. And you can't, listen to me now, I want you to listen, because I know something about hogs. I'm not a hog specialist, but I've been around some hogs. I've been around some hog farmers. They smell. When I was on the railroad, I worked on a railroad. I used to work on a passenger train that came through Fredericksburg called Silver Meteor. The RFMP picked it up. I worked on it from Miami. Miami is where I worked on, but it came through. I worked on a railroad. But we had an old boilermaker named Lonnie, and he was a pig farmer. And we were in Tampa. I was in the Tampa at the time working. And he every day he would go to the Las Novedades and the Columbia restaurant, and he'd pick up the scraps from those restaurants, those Spanish restaurants. And he would take them home and cook them, and he would feed his hogs. And we'd punch in every day at 7:30 on I'll never forget it, an IBM time clock. Why do I remember the time clock? Come on, because I had to punch it. I used to have to work for a living. Come on, before I got this easy job. Y'all didn't know that, did you? 13 and a half years on the railroad as an electrician. But old Lonnie would walk up to the time clock. But before Lonnie got there, we could tell he was coming. You say, why are you making this point? Wait till I get through. I have a reason for this. They smell bad. And look at me. You can't hang around with the hogs without smelling like them. If you get involved. Now, this is his job. A man who left home. What's a man doing in a place like this? Now he's in another place. And not only is he there working with those hogs, but he's so hungry. His money's run out. He can't buy any food. If you've never slopped the hogs, you don't know how bad it smells. But he's about to reach down and take those pods out of the trough and put them in his mouth. He got so hungry. But the Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, he came to himself. Can somebody shout amen? He came to himself. One translation says this. What am I doing? One translation says this brought him to himself. This circumstance that he's in a hog pen, a Jewish boy, it brought him to himself. He came to himself. It brought him to a place where he realized what he was. And here's what my message really is based on. I believe he looked at himself and said these words. What is a man like me doing in a place like this? A hog pen. What am I doing here? And then he said, I'm hungry. And my father has servants with plenty to eat. And good for clean clothes to wear. And a place to sleep. And I've got nothing. And so the Bible says, he took and left that hog pen. He said, I will rise up and go back to my father. And when I rise up and I'm going back to my father, here's what I'm going to tell you. He was at father's house. But he didn't like father's house. He said, what am I doing in a place like this? He left there. But now he realizes father's house is where he's supposed to be. And he walked down that road, that dusty road. He went back to father's house. He went back to where he came from. He went back to the father's house. And he came named there. And when he got there, he said to the father, he rehearsed it all the way. When I get there, I'm going to tell my father, I'm no longer worthy of being all your son. Just make me a servant. Don't let me sleep. I won't be able to sleep in the big house. I can't sleep in the house with you. I'm not worthy to be in the father's house. Put me in the bunkhouse. Put me in the servant's house. But can I say, when he's coming down that dusty road, his father was on the front porch. I believe he's on the front porch because I'm preaching this message, and I believe he was a southerner. Come on, with a rocking chair. Is that all right? If I take a little liberty? I don't know where he was standing or where he was sitting, but he was looking down the road. He was waiting for his boy to come home. He was waiting for his boy to come home. And he didn't wait for his boy to get there. Most Bible scholars believe he wore a robe, and he sure did. He had to pull up that robe. He couldn't run. He ran down the robe. He had to pull up his robe because he couldn't run the way it was. And men in that day didn't run. It was not, you was not supposed to run as Jewish men, but he was running down the road. And he fell on his neck, and he kissed him. And I got one thing to say about this. Nothing I can prove, but I want to ask the question. Wonder what he smelled. He smelled where he had been. But can I tell you something this morning, ladies and gentlemen? He still loved him. He still loved him. And he kept looking for him. And looking for him. And looking for him. And he said, Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a servant. Father never responded to him. You know what happened, don't you? You know the story. You've heard it so many times. Go get a robe and put on his back. And put a ring on his finger. And sandals on his feet. Can somebody help me shout? My son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost. He's found. Let me help you tonight or today. The shepherd went looking for the sheep. The woman went looking for the coin. They were both lost. But the father never went looking for him. He just hit the looking down the road. Why didn't he go looking for the boy? Because, let me shout it, the boy knew the way back home. I felt led to preach this message this morning for you and for me, because I have unsaved, maybe I have children that I don't think, grandchildren, not my children, my grandchildren. I have some grandchildren this morning that are not serving God. I don't think I'm the only one in the house that has family or friends or relatives or children or grandchildren that are not serving God. And I'll come today to tell you, the Father was a wealthy man. He could have went looking for the boy. He could have enabled the boy. He could have given him some more money. So anything that bothers you is a son or a daughter that doesn't have enough to eat, nowhere to sleep. But he never left the house. He could have said to one of his servants, saddle up a mule or saddle up a horse or saddle up a camel and go find my boy and take some of this money and give it to him. But he never did it because he had to leave that boy alone until he came to the end of his road. I hope you're hearing this today. This is what we've got to understand about our God. Listen to me. God will never change your family's mind. He'll never change your loved one's mind. You're a free moral agent. I don't care what people preach about you. You're elected. Get away from that. We have a right of choice. How many believe we have a right of choice? We are elected to go to heaven, but because we have to choose to go to heaven. And we have a right of choice. And when you write a choice, God will never change your mind. He'll never come down and change your mind. But let me say something to this church this morning. He'll never change your mind, but he'll put you in a place where you will change your mind. This father left this boy alone until he changed his mind and said, what is a man like me doing in a place like this? I know where Father's house is. I was praying with Esther the other day about some of our grandchildren. They're not bad people. They're just not coming to church. They're not serving God. I'm not judging them. They may be ready for heaven. Only God knows that. But I'm not really pleased with their walk. And I said to Esther, are we willing to pray that God will bring them back to Father's house? Come on. Are you willing to pray God will bring them back to Father's house? And I'm going to say this because I love you. The one you're going to have more trouble with is mama. I deal with drug people all the time. I don't know why I ended up with this job, but when people have a drug problem, they usually end up in my office at the church because I'm so close to Teen Challenge, and I work with Teen Challenge. And I bring them in my office, And I hear these mothers and these fathers say, but I've been helping them. I've been helping them. I said, you can't keep helping them. If you keep enabling them, they're going to keep going down that road. But Jeff, what if they get hungry? Well, then they're going to have to get hungry. They're going to have to get to a place. I use this principle all the time. The prodigal son, the father left him alone until he came to the place that he changed his mind. He came to himself. You got to leave him alone. God won't change their mind, but God will put them in a place where they'll change their mind. And you got a promise here that I have, and I'm standing on this promise, ladies and gentlemen. Train up a child in the way he should go. Come on. And when he's old, he won't depart. How many believe that today? Put your hands together if you believe it. God will bring him home. He came home. Last Thursday, I went to our parish prison. I'm working at a state penitentiary, but I also work a lot at our parish prison. We call it parish prisons because we have parishes, Louisiana. You people have counties. All the rest of the world have counties, but we have parishes. I live in East Baton Rouge Parish. We have St. Helena. We have St. James. We have St. John. We have Ascension Parish. We have Assumption Parish. We've got a lot of parishes. They're counties. We don't call them county jails. We call them parish prisons. There's a retired colonel from the sheriff's department of East Baton Rouge Parish that's on fire for Jesus. He arrests them, takes them to prison, then calls me and we go get them to Teen Challenge. I don't know how many we've done this way. He called me the other day. He said, I got a couple in there. Not young, but an older couple. Been married, living together for 10 years. They've been living together for 10 solid years. They got two children, but they're not married. He said, well, you go over to the women and let's see if we can get them in Teen Challenge. And so I met him Thursday. We took the major, which is the number two person, in with us, a lady, and we went back to talk to Jimmy, the man. He's squalling and bawling. He's ready to go. About 2 weeks ago, we went to a chapel service, got saved. Come on. In prison. Come on. Saved. We went to what? Went to the woman who's his live-in, and she's hard. She was putting up every barrier she could. And I've had so many of this happening to me. I've been there so many times, and people want to go. Say, I want to go to Teen Challenge. Why do I want to go to Teen Challenge? So I can get out of here. No, you got to want to go to Teen Challenge. You got to be the point. You're tired of the hog pen. Come on. But when we got through talking to her, she said, I'm going to get over this myself. I said, how long have you been taking heroin? She said, 5 years. Y'all did a good job so far, haven't you? You said, don't be mean to people. I'm not being mean to them. I'm being real. But they, finally, before we got through, she was agreeing to go, and I believe she was sincere. And now the process has been continued to go. She's going to go to Teen Challenge. Why is Teen Challenge so helpful? I know you have Teen Challenge here. I know you come here to the church. I know you got one here in Fredericksburg. Let me say something about Teen Challenge, one of the greatest ministries in the world. Come on. Put your hands together for Teen Challenge. That's a great ministry. What does Teen Challenge do? It gets them back to Father's house. Father's house. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If we're not so, I would have told you. I would go to prepare a place for you. If I go to prepare a place, I'll come again and receive you unto myself where I am there, and maybe also. And then one of the disciples said, we don't know where you're going, how we know the way. And he said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. Let me shout this message for as long as loud as I can. The young man that was a prodigal, he had to go down a dusty road to get back to Father's house. You're going to have to go to Jesus to get back to Father's house. That's the answer. There's a hole. I tell these people, there's a hole in your soul only God can fill. You're not created an animal. You're not an animal. You're created in God's image. He put a place in your soul that only he can fill. You can fill it with everything in the world. And we got an epidemic in this country of drugs, especially opioids and street drugs. It's unbelievable. And they're trying to fill it with psychology. They're trying to fill it with education. But let me tell you, that has some effect, and I'm sure people have gotten some victory over that. But the real answer to that is Jesus Christ in their heart. Come on. He created that for himself because this is the answer to their problem. The boy went down a dusty road. Jesus said, the way back to Father's house is through me. So we're going to see our family saved. Let me make one more point that I'm going to pray with you today. What's a man like this doing at a place like me doing at a place like this? One day, there's going to be a rapture. Anybody believe that? One day the dead in Christ are going to rise. We which are alive and remain are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. And where are we going? We're going to Father's house. Because Jesus said, in my Father's house where I am, that's what I call heaven. Come on. We're going to heaven. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but when I get there and I walk into that place, golden streets and gates of pearl and mansions of gold, I'm going to say, what's a man like me doing in a place like this? Are you going to say that? How many wants to go to Father's house? Would you stand, give him a hand to praise as Esther goes to the piano? I said during the week I'm going to be preaching on the I Am's, but today I want to preach this message. She's going to play, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Would you bow your heads with me?